Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter 73, and we're going to read here beginning in verse number 1 down through verse 14. Psalm chapter 73, verse 1 to verse 14. The Bible says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish." Heard the expression of, you know, more than heart could wish for, and so on. It says there in verse 8, "They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." Let's have a word of prayer, and then I will explain to you this passage of Scripture, and I believe we can learn something very important. I want to preach to you. The title of the message this morning is really a question. It's, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? I told you we'd get to a time of talking about sitting, and over the next maybe month, a month and a half, I'm going to preach you several different messages, very, very unique from one another, different things in the Bible about sitting. This morning, the message is, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask you please to help us today. We need your Spirit to work in our spirit and in our heart and to convict us and challenge us and change us. Spirit of God, I pray you'd fill me with your power and help me to speak the words that you want me to say, and may they come to a listener's heart with conviction and with power from you. Help us now this morning, I pray, to have an ear that really wants to hear and wants to be changed and wants to glorify you. Thank you for each man, each lady here, and work in their life. Please bless them as they follow you and as they obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Again, the title of the message is a question, where are you sitting? The psalmist that we read about in Psalm 73 was sitting in the seat of envy and jealousy. He was very envious. He was very jealous, as we read it, as he talks about the world and thinking, oh, these people of the world, they have it better than I do. They're increased in their riches and they are prospering in so many ways. And it seems like they can even say, where's God? God's not afflicting me. God's not punishing me. I'm living how I want. I'm doing what I want. And I'm still prospering. And the psalmist, who was one of God's people, one of God's children, looked at that and just, he became very envious. He became very jealous. He was not thinking right. He was somehow thinking that the world had it better than him. You know what? Sometimes Christians today may even get like that. And we think that, well, the world has it better than I do. God's people today can become like the psalmist when they sit in front of the television. You know what? You can look and see other people and see people with their wealth and their fame, and we can become envious and jealous, thinking, well, the world just has it better than we do. People look to athletes and they watch athletes and movie stars or other famous celebrities of the world and are thinking, people's perspective sometimes gets all messed up, thinking they have all this and they're such a celebrity and they're so well known and they seem to have so much. They must be so happy. They have it better than I do. A pastor friend had the opportunity to meet recently, just a couple weeks ago, with Ron Joyce. If you know the name, Ron Joyce is the co-founder of Tim Hortons. And he's an elderly man now. And this pastor had a chance to go to his home, walked by his Rolls Royce, walked into his home and had a chance to sit with him and to give him a Bible and tried to share the gospel with him. And Ron Joyce did not get saved that day, but the pastor ended up asking him a question. He said, "Are there ever times in your life, you know, you have so much and you're so wealthy and you become such a prominent person, are there ever times in your life where you just feel like something is still missing in your life?" And Ron Joyce, he thought about that and said, "Well, yeah, there are some times where I feel like that. But I just go back to my thing and I forget about it." You know what? He has money. He has wealth. He has prominence. But there's still something missing in his life. And there will be to every person that does not know Jesus. We can look at the world and think, well, they have everything. No, they don't have everything. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything that matters. Listen, our life here on this earth is so short compared to eternity. You may live on this earth 30 years, 60 years, 90 years. But eternity is a mighty long time. It's forever. It's forever. Our thinking is backwards when we think that the world has it better than we do as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. People can sit and watch primetime television. People can sit and watch the soap operas. And people get the wrong ideas of what is true and what is right and what is good. Let me make a very firm and true statement this morning. Morals are corrupted. And our thinking is corrupted. And people's satisfaction is diminished when their flesh nature is continually drawn away from the Lord by the lusts and desires for things of this world. Morals are corrupted. Our thinking is corrupted. And people's satisfaction with Jesus and people's satisfaction with being a Christian is diminished when their flesh nature is continually drawn away after the things of this world because of our lusts and our fleshly desires. Let me share with you this morning a few important truths, four truths this morning as we ask this question, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? Number one, where you sit determines who is teaching you or who is influencing you. Where you sit determines who is teaching you or who is influencing you. I remember sometimes, I can't remember exactly, I probably didn't pay close attention. Maybe it was in history class, sometime in school. I remember learning about someone and maybe hearing the expression used about someone sitting at the feet of another man. And we would maybe learn of men that, for example, sat at the feet of Aristotle or sat at the feet of some maybe well-known philosopher in history and they learned from them and they took a lot of their philosophies as their own. They sat under the influence and under the teachings of that other person. And because they sat at the feet of that particular person, their thinking and their philosophy and their attitude and their behavior was affected by what they learned. It was affected by what they heard. It was affected by what they observed and what they watched in the life of that other person. You know, that was even true in the life of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter number 22. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3 and 4. The Bible says this about him. It says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew." Saul was a very prominent Jew, a very religious Jew. His name was Saul, but after he got saved, after he got converted, God changed his name to Paul. Here it says about him, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." Brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. If you know the story of Saul or Paul, listen, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, he was influenced. He was a very religious man, zealous man, a zealot. And because of his influence and because of his philosophy and because of his thinking and because he would not accept Jesus Christ at that point as the Messiah and as his Savior, he hated those Christians. He hated the followers of Jesus Christ. He had them tortured. He had them imprisoned. He had some put to death. his actions were all determined by what was influencing him, who was influencing him, who he had sat under. That was what had influenced him tremendously. You look at what kind of a man Saul was because of who was influencing him. But then you consider what kind of a man Saul or Paul became when he changed where he was sitting. Boy, when his influence became God, when his influence became Jesus Christ, he was such a changed man. Wherever you sit is very important. Can I ask us this important question? Where are you sitting? Are you sitting at the feet of the world? Or are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you sitting at the feet of the world? How much time do you spend watching television? How much time do you spend surfing the internet? How much time do you spend reading magazines? Boy, I guarantee you, there's a lot of filth on television nowadays. There's a lot of filth and on the internet. There's a lot of things that are not true and not pure and not good. We're likely filling our mind with a whole lot of junk from this world. Television and the stuff on the magazine racks at the grocery store, at Shoppers Drug Mart, things on the internet, they do not teach us to think right. Some people think, well, boy, at the store, there's all these magazines and all these women's magazines or men's magazines, and they can teach you how to think, and they can teach you what to do about this, and so on. Listen, what they teach is not good. What they teach is not pure. What they teach is not God's way and what is right and what is good. But it affects people. The philosophy of the world is ungodly. Morals are corrupt. Their ways are ways of selfishness and greed and impurity. No, the world's attitude really is a very selfish attitude. Put yourself first. It's completely opposite to Jesus' way when He teaches us to, in honor, prefer one another. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Become a servant. Lift up others instead of lifting up yourselves. Oh, it's just one little example. But listen, everything that the magazines or that we would learn from television and programs, the way it would maybe demean men sometimes, and the way there's just so many things are ungodly and wicked and worldly and corrupt and so on. This world's morals and philosophies and ideas are not right. If we're spending our time watching things on the television or on the internet, if we're reading magazines and articles written by the ungodly and the unsaved, then we're sitting at the feet of the world. And that's very sad. Look with me real quickly to Psalm chapter number 1. We're going to go back to Psalm 73 if you want to mark it, but let's read just a verse in Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. We need to be careful about not sitting at the feet of the world. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Fathers, you're supposed to lead your home. You're to lead your family to serve Christ. You're to be leaders in a church. Where are you sitting? I don't mean what seat are you sitting in. I mean, where are you sitting? What's influencing you? What's influencing your thinking? What's influencing your morals? What's influencing your principles and your ethics and so on? What is it that's influencing you? Mothers, you're to support your husband. You're to help in the training of the children. You're to be a godly example to your children and even to other ladies in the church. Where are you sitting? What is it that's influencing you? Who is it that's influencing you? Where you sit determines what's influencing you. You say, well, I want to be a godly lady. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a godly man or a godly father or a godly husband. Well, where are you sitting? What is it that's influencing your thinking? Because that's influencing ultimately your behavior and your actions. Where are you sitting? The world is not to be our teacher. Whoever is teaching us, whatever is teaching us, whoever we're listening to, whatever we're watching, whatever we're reading, those things are influencing us tremendously in either a positive way or a negative way. It affects our mind, our philosophy, our thinking, our heart, our attitude, and our actions. I say this, number one, this morning, wherever you sit determines who's teaching you or who's influencing you. Wherever you sit determines who is influencing you. Number two, we ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. We ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Couldn't you all agree with that? Amen. We all ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. The world should not be our influence. The world should not be our teacher. Jesus wants to be your teacher. He wants this book to be your guide, and so on. Again, in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, what a difference. Blessed will be that man that doesn't sit under the influence of the world, but instead is sitting under the influence of Christ and sitting under the influence of the Word of God in their life. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We cannot sit at the feet of ungodly sinners and scorners and prosper in the Christian life. It just won't work. You think, well, I want to prosper in my Christian life. I want to have a good Christian life. But over here, we're letting the world be our influence. We're letting those that scorn or mock or make fun be our influence. Listen, we spend a lot of time watching television or too much time surfing the internet or wasting any time, really, reading the magazine's racks and that sort of thing in the stores. Listen, we are wasting our time and we're letting ourselves be influenced by the world when we ought to be being influenced by Jesus Christ. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. We must sit at the feet of Jesus, spend time in the Word of God, spend time in prayer, spend time our hearts communing with God and fellowshipping with Him. I say this, number one, this morning, where you sit determines who's teaching you or who's influencing you. Number two, we ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. We ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Listen, I guarantee you, our thinking is not right. Our ideas about what is right and what is wrong, it won't be right and it won't be good and it won't be pure and it won't be godly unless we're sitting under the right influence. Boy, you're letting this world influence you. Can you not understand this world is so wicked and ungodly and going away from God? Do you understand the world scorns and mocks and makes fun of Jesus Christ and really mocks the Word of God and questions so much about it? Why would we want to let the world influence us? Why would we want to let the world determine what our life should be like and how we should live and how we should act and how we should behave and how we should talk? The world's music many times is can be corrupt and promote things that are ungodly or promote rebellion. There's just so many things. Listen, the world is not to be our influence. Number three this morning, where you sit will determine your attitude. Where you sit will determine your attitude. I said before in number one, where you sit will determine who's influencing you. But number three, I say where you sit will determine your attitude. Turn back with me to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73. We saw that the psalmist, the writer of Psalms, Psalm 73, named Asaph, he was disgruntled. He was discouraged. When he was sitting and looking at the world and thinking that the world had it better than him. And by the way, the devil is working to deceive us also. The devil would like to make you think that chasing after the world, it's far better than following after God. Oh, don't follow after God. That's a life that's too restrictive. No, you want to have a life to do what you want and live freely and make your own choices. To live for God, that's a restrictive life. There's no liberty there. You're just going to be in bondage. You always got to do what God tells you to do. You got to follow all these commandments from the Bible. You don't want that kind of life. The devil really, it was following after the world is far better. No, it's a life of freedom, life, do whatever you want. No, that's not true. Satan wants to get us in bondage. He wants to have us in chains. He wants us to be servants of sin. Far better to willingly choose, I want to serve Jesus Christ. It's a far better life. When Asaph was sitting and looking at the world, he was in trouble spiritually. He was in trouble spiritually. Look at a few verses. Psalm 73 in verse 2. I said this, where you sit will determine your attitude. And we see it so true in the life of Asaph. Psalm 73, 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Asaph is admitting it here later. When it's after the fact now. When Asaph is talking about it, boy, I had such a bad attitude. And we read his verse, the first few verses, and see how, boy, he had a stinking attitude. He thought the world had it better than he did, and he was almost gone. He had almost slipped to the point of saying, I'm giving up, forget this. Look at verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He was envious of the foolish. Think about it. It struck me, what a crazy and foolish thing it is for us to be envious of fools. Isn't that a foolish thing? That we as God's people and God's children who could have a home in heaven, we know that we're the children of God. We have the one who can provide us with true peace and joy and security in our life. We have the one who can make us to be blessed men and ladies, who can give us a blessed home, who can make such a difference in our lives. For us to somehow be envious of fools, or to be envious of the world, or to be envious of the unsaved. Listen, they have nothing worthwhile for me to be envious of. They have nothing. Well, they have such a good time. No, they don't have as good a time as I can have in following Jesus Christ. How silly it would be, how foolish it would be for us to be envious of fools. But you know what? For a little while, Asaph was like that. Boy, his attitude was being affected. Look at verse 5, Psalm 73:5. He now is describing people of the world and so on, the unsaved. And he says, they are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. You know what? Asaph got to thinking that the world had no problems. The world had no troubles. And that's certainly not true. But the devil wants us to believe it. The devil paints the world to look so beautiful. The devil can use bright lights and fancy fireworks to make sin look so exciting and so wonderful. Hey, he wants to entice us. The devil will use smoke and mirrors to deceive people and make them think that what the world has to offer, it's far better than anything that Jesus has to offer. Listen, the devil's a deceiver. The devil's a liar. And he would like us to make us think, oh, the world has no problems, no troubles. It's just so wonderful to have this life of living freely and living for yourself and doing whatever you want to do. No, it can also lead to a life of heartache and sorrow. Listen, saved or unsaved, people are going to have troubles. But we need to remind ourselves, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. You know what a season is? Spring, summer, fall, winter? They come and go. Aren't you glad that winter comes and winter goes? Aren't you glad that the spring rains, they come and then they go and we get some sunshine? We have seasons. They come and seasons come and seasons go. It's temporary. But sin, when it is finished, the Bible says, bringeth forth death. Listen, there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of great troubles in living for self or living in sin. Far greater than any trouble you'd have as a Christian. Oh, we need to be wise, not believe the devil's lies. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen, God says, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love the world's system. Don't love the world's philosophy. Don't love all the world's temptations and enticements to sin and go your own way and do your own thing. Listen, that does not bring true happiness. Money and fame and wealth don't take away the fact that people, all people, will still have troubles and heartaches and burdens and problems in their life just like anybody has. And the truth really is that the ungodly and the unsaved have multiplied greater sorrows. Multiplied times greater sorrows and greater heartaches. Because a life lived in sin, you know what? It has consequences. Boy, when we live in sin, sin has its consequences. You think, well, God's a forgiving God. He is a forgiving God. But there are times when we sin, there are consequences that we live with for the rest of our life. There are difficulties. Sometimes there are consequences where people suffer, where families suffer, where children suffer. Why? Because somebody thought, I'm going to live for myself. This is what I will enjoy. This will be a pleasure for me. And families are hurt. And families are divided. So many things that can cause great heartache and sorrow.
Because of sin. Because of sin. Not knowing the Lord means people forfeit true joy and peace. You know what? The world many times has to try to drown out their problems. They have to try to drown out their problems with parties, drugs, alcohol, booze, liquor, and doing everything they possibly can to try to give themselves happiness. But you know what? It's not lasting. Even for somebody that could say, well, I'm going to go to a party this Friday night. I'm going to party like I've never partied before. And I'm going to drink and I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to have such a good time. Well, you have a good time. You have a good time for a little while. But once your level hits a bit too high, man, you're out of there. You're spaced out and you have a hangover. You know what? You wake up the next morning, you're going to feel pretty miserable. I've never done it, but thank God I've only heard about it. Listen, what the world has to offer is not better. Drugs doesn't matter. Things can give you a temporary high or a temporary rush, some temporary excitement. Hey, it doesn't give you true joy and true happiness. It won't give you as much happiness as coming home to a family that loves you and with children that love you and a wife that loves you and being able to spend time with them and having things that are good. Listen, the world many times thinks, I go after this, I chase after this, it's pleasure for me. Yeah, pleasure temporarily. What the world has to offer is not lasting, it's not true, it's not real. True happiness comes from the Lord. Notice something else quickly about Asaph. Look down to verse number 12. Psalm 73 and verse 12, it says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Boy, his thinking and perspective were backwards. They were messed up. He thought that the world was prospering and increasing. And he had forgotten that godliness with contentment is great gain. Look with me at 1 Timothy in the New Testament. If you can find that, 1 Timothy. Chinese, it's Timotei. If you can find that book, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. When you were born into this world, you were born with absolutely nothing. Nothing. Right? Paul and Sarah had a baby last week. That baby was born with absolutely nothing. You know what? When you leave this world, you're not taking nothing with you. Nothing. It doesn't matter how much we attain in this world, how much we acquire. It's nothing. Verse number 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, food and clothing, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money. Boy, that lusting for money, that desire, we've always got to have more money, we've always got to have more, always got to have better. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Oh, he'd forgotten that. Asaph didn't understand that. And for a while, his thinking got all messed up as he thought, boy, the world, they're prospering. They're so rich. You know, is it really that God is just, they can live like they want, they can live in sin, they have no concern for God, and yet God is still letting them be blessed like that? His thinking was messed up. Thinking the world has it better than I do. The world is prospering. His thinking was so messed up. His attitude was wrong. I said this morning, where you sit determine who's teaching you or who's influencing you. Number two, we ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Number three, where you sit will determine your attitude. And lastly, number four, we must sit in the right place to have the right perspective in life. We must sit in the right place to have the right perspective in life. Look down to verse 16. We see Asaph is writing, and as he writes this first section of verses, in verse 1 he says, truly God is good. But then he goes back and says, boy, I was in trouble. My feet had almost slipped. I was almost gone. I was almost to the point of giving up and quitting and so on. And then he describes how his attitude was so bad and his thinking was so messed up. And he was so envious and jealous of the world. But then he says, what changed it all? What changed it all? Psalm 73, verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought about all this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. He said, when I thought about what the world has and how they were prospering, I was so envious, I was so jealous. My thinking was all messed up, thinking they had it better than I did. But when I came into the sanctuary, when I came into the church, when I came into the house of God and gathered with the other people of God and heard the man up there preaching the Word of God, then I understood the end of those people in the world. Oh, it may seem at times where they have it so good and they may have it better than me, but I understood that their end is going to be far worse than my end as I live for God and follow God. And listen, as you follow Christ and live for Christ and be a Christian, act like a Christian, and live for a Christian, your end is going to be far better than the end of the world. Far better. Your end will be in heaven. Your end will be with the rewards of God. Your end, and even the here and now, can be a blessing to God in your life. Their end will not know any of that. Any of that.
Sitting in church can help people to think straight, to think right, and to get the proper perspective about life. Sitting in church can give people good counsel. It can give people wisdom. Sitting in church can give people encouragement. And don't we all need that? Isn't there times where we need to come to church and we need to hear some preaching that encourages us to keep on going and keep on living for Christ? It encourages us maybe in some area with our family or with our children or just with our relationships or just some things about our spirit or our attitude or our heart. Well, we need to be encouraged. We all need that. Sitting in church can give good counsel, can give us encouragement. It can give us direction for life. The Bible says that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Sitting in church can give us good philosophy. Sitting in church can give us good doctrine. It can give us the right beliefs. Sitting in church can give us proper perspective. Proper perspective. That word perspective, I use some biblical words would be discernment and understanding. You know, it's God that gives understanding. It's God that gives wisdom. It's God that gives us discernment. And you know what? Asaph did not have it, but when he came into the sanctuary, when he started sitting where he ought to be sitting, boy, his perspective changed. He had discernment then and understanding. Remember, he said, now I understand there. I was so envious. I was so foolish. And my attitude was a stinking attitude. I was jealous of them. I thought they had it better than me. But when I started sitting in church and I heard some things, boy, I understood things so much differently. My perspective changed. My thinking changed. My attitude changed. My discernment. I had understanding then that I did not have before. Asaph got a different perspective, a different attitude when he started sitting in the right place. Again, look at these verses for me, verse 16 to verse 20. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. He realized, no, God, they're the ones in slippery places. Oh, it may seem like they have it all, but it's a very slippery slope. They really have nothing. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. All the end of the unsaved, this and we know is God's judgment. It's like a fire for all eternity. Oh, you don't ever get to thinking, well, the world, the unsaved, has it better than I do. It seems like they have it so much better. No. You have it far better, being a Christian. Asaph realized just how wrong and foolish he had been. Look at verse 21. Psalm 73:21. Thus my heart was grieved,
and I was pricked in my reins. That word reins was a word that meant like the seat of affection. Our kidneys, our heart, the seat of affection was what it implied and meant. I was pricked in my heart. I was pricked. My heart was grieved. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. When Asaph was envious and jealous and complaining to God, you know, they got it all better than me. God, I was so foolish. I was so ignorant. I didn't understand it all, God. I was just a beast. I was so foolish, God. So foolish. Later we see verse 23, Asaph recognized that God was graciously holding him up. When he had thought about giving up, when his steps had well nigh slipped, when he was felt like he was almost gone and ready to give up and ready to quit, ready to join up with the world and those who he foolishly envied, he realized, God was holding me up all that time. Verse 23 says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me or held me by my right hand. He knew that God was holding him up. All that time when Asaph was bad attitude and not thinking right and envious of the world, he knew that all that time he was thinking of quit. God was there holding him all that time. God didn't want to let him go. God cared about Asaph. God loved Asaph. He knew that God was graciously holding him up. Asaph recognized, lastly, that he must sit at the feet of God. Only God was the one who could truly help him and give him all that he needed. Look at verse 24. He says, now about God, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Before he wasn't like that. He desired the world. He wanted the things that the world had. He thought, they've got it better than I do. They're happier than I am. And he was envious of them, desired them. But now he realized, oh, I've been so foolish. I have nothing but thee, God. You're my desire. There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I ask you this morning, is God your desire? Or is the world your desire? Oh, God needs to be our desire. We must draw near to Him. It is good for us. It is good for me to draw near to God. It is good for me to draw near to God. Where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? At the feet of Jesus or at the feet of the world? Where you sit determines who's teaching you or who's influencing you. We ought to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Where you sit will determine your attitude. We must sit in the right place to have the right perspective in life. Don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't sit under the influence of scorners. Don't sit under the influence of the wicked or of the world. Why not sit at the feet of Jesus? Sit under His influence. Don't sit under the influence of so-and-so on television. Don't sit under the influence of that writer who writes those articles in that magazine. Don't sit under the influence of the philosophies and so on of this world. Why not sit under the influence of Jesus Christ? Sit under the influence of God in your life. It'll make such a difference in your attitude, your perspective, your understanding of life. Oh, let's not believe the devil. He's a liar. He'd love to make you think following him is far better than following Jesus, but he's a liar and a deceiver. Where are you sitting? Where are you sitting?